eight, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Welcome back. Yep. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. So speaking of inconvenient truths and uncomfortable realities, I mean, despite the propaganda, Alex Berenson wrote, you can find this over at RBN also, republicbroadcasting.org, and over at Alex Berenson's Substack microsite, I guess. By July, 98% of British adults had coronavirus antibodies, mostly through vaccination. Yet 35,000 Britons since then have died of COVID. Nearly all were jabbed. Now cases are soaring again. That's interesting. And so he writes, it's time to face reality. You know, we've played some of the stuff that Alex Berenson has said. You know, his appearances, for example, on Tucker Carlson are usually provocative. If Britain is the future of coronavirus in highly mRNA vaccinated countries, the future is bleak. Britain authorized Pfizer's mRNA COVID vaccine even before the United States. It vaccinated against COVID faster than any other advanced country except Israel. The results have been worse than unpromising. So that's an interesting article. It's titled "We Know Not What We Do," which is an interesting sort of biblical allusion. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And I would say a companion piece to that is his article that was published yesterday, Alex Berenson, Influenza, in parentheses, Virus, Gonna Virus. Influenza, Virus, Gonna Virus. What does he mean? And he writes, we increased flu shots over 15-fold between 1980 and 2020. So over that 40-year period, 15-fold increase in flu shots. And you can get them for free. I wonder why that is. Speaking of the Club of Rome and Malthusian population reduction, etc. So Alex Berenson writes, we increased flu shots over 15-fold between 1980 and 2020. You'll never believe what happened next. So he says, the chart is real, straight from the CDC, and it's spectacular. Influenza vaccine doses distributed in the United States by season from 80 to 2020, 15-fold increase. You see that. And then, next, we went from 12 million flu shots in 1980 to almost 200 million in 2020. Great job. We totally got rid of the flu, right? Well, here's the flu deaths from 1959 to 2016. And it looks like, I don't know, what someone like Barbara Lo Fisher or Dr. Sherry Tenpenny might share. And so he says, see the trend? No, that's because there isn't one. There's absolutely no relationship between the number of flu vaccines, quote unquote, we give and deaths from influenza. In other words, if you look at the chart, you know, it's like an EKG. It's the same year after year after year. No change. Zero change. Despite the 15-fold increase in flu shots. So then what happens? Well, I'll let you read the rest. To the phones we go, because that's what we're doing. John in Tennessee, right?
That'll be me.
Good morning. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, thank you. I'm driving down the road and I'm listening. And I'm listening to you speak about racism and, the book, Origin of the Species, or Preservation of the Races, favored races by means of natural selection. Why do I feel like I'm living in Canaan before they entered in? Like I'm behind the, I'm across the Jordan and I'm in the land of the giants, and the preservation of favored races maybe rather than races, favored species maybe?
Yeah.
Why does my mind take me back to Genesis 11, Genesis 6, Genesis 3? And, you know, the whole idea of 23andMe and Ancestry.com and why it's so important to know who you are and where you're from. Is it important for you, or is it highly important for someone else?
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I've been going through Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua, and we've seen all the death and dying and what a bloody book the Old Testament was, and people look on it without understanding, and they say, why would God do that? Why would there be all that killing? Why would there be all the bloodshed? And if you really understood, it's not too hard to understand. Mm-hmm. That sounds counterintuitive, but if you understand what was going on, then you can understand the need. And you can understand the fear of the people that are involved in this worldwide death cult who want to eliminate certain people possibly because they know they're going to lose anyway. I hope I'm making sense.
I think so. And when a number of us come to the same conclusion separately, then you have to kind of wonder. And when that conclusion is not part of the hive mind or the Borg consensus, it's way off the beaten path, generally speaking, then again, you have to kind of think, that's interesting. Maybe we should look into that a little bit.
Well, it started with me earlier during the COVID nonsense with Psalm chapter 2. Anyone that's interested, do a word study in Psalm chapter 2. And if you're honest and you're prayerful before you do it, it will, I don't want to use the term blow your mind, but you will have a clear understanding of what's going on, what's behind it, what the intent is, and all the warnings that were in the Old Testament. See that you take not their daughters to wives. See that you take not their sons. Don't enter in. And it's not racial purity. It's, I'm going to make up a word, and it's probably going to sound crazy. It's special purity or special purity. You're special, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. When someone says, you're so special, what's the root word in that word? You're something designed by God to be out of the ordinary, to be a peculiar people.
Or, you know,
I don't know.
You like to talk about words and, you know, their meanings and components and things. So speaking of origin of species by means of natural selection or the preservation of favored races and the struggle for life, special, maybe, you know, we could draw the parallel to species, and you are special, so it's a separate species. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The origin set apart of the species.
Unto God.
Mm-hmm. The preservation of favored races by means of unholy, unnatural selection. That's what the two title ought to be.
Yeah.
Because it's an affront to everything that God has put in his word.
A return to to Genesis 6. Yep, absolutely.
You know, and I know I go there a lot, and I may do it in a way that's a little more coarse because you do it in a way that people have to be really listening. I mean, you're gifted, Chris. I just come out and say what's on my mind. And wherever it takes people, that's up to them. It's between them and God. But we need to exactly what God's word says it is. It's a spiritual battle between heaven and hell, and you're involved. That doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, look at who Paul was, Saul, before he was struck down on the road to Damascus. Look who he was.
Yeah.
He was one of them. Take it to the bank. He was one of them.
He was the quintessential one of them. He was a Jew's Jew, a Pharisee, you know, trained in the way of Gamaliel, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, absolutely.
And so deceived that he thought he was doing God's will. And when he was struck down, what was he asked? Why do you persecute me?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it hard to kick against the prick? And that was his come to Jesus moment.
Literally. Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
When Jesus came to him, because we can't go find Christ. We can't find him. We know where he's at, but we can't come to him until we're drawn. And to be drawn, your mind and your heart have to be open to receive the truth in God's word. You know, I mean, we can want it, but until it's time, we can want it all we want. We can't come. He's got to come looking for us. We're the sheep that was lost. Think about it. He left everybody to come look for John. He left everybody because it was time to go find Chris.
Yep. Amen.
And he had more rejoicing when he came and found me and you than he did all those that he left behind because he knew they were saved in the fold. But we look at it, we say, I can't understand that book. Maybe it's, and I'm guilty of it. Maybe it's because I wasn't in it enough. And if someone has cared enough to give you this self-replicating, auto-correcting, whatever it is, I can never remember, self-replicating, auto-correcting code book, cared enough to write it to Chris and John and anyone else personally to you.
It's error-correcting. So it's a
right.
code that self-replicates in us. Glenn called with the, you know, we had the point of clarification. It's the self-replicating in us. The Bible is, when we read it, obviously we know it's self-replicating. In other words, you know, we get it in there and it's God's character and nature perfecting. If there is a perfectibilism, we're supposed to be perfected, the Bible says, and be perfect as he is. We won't be until Jesus returns, but we have the Bible and we can start that process, as crude and slow as it is in this sinful fallen world, but still it's that. The Bible is that self-replicating, error-correcting code. So it's self-replicating and correcting error in us constantly. Yep.
And the more you read it and the more you study it, the more it gives you an indication. You see yourself clearer and just how vile you are, even when you're trying to do your best. According to the Bible, the best I can do smells like the dirty, rotten towel that I found behind the washer that I never knew was there.
Yeah.
Filthy rags is our best. And we say, well, look at so-and-so. Look at them. They're filthy, vile, dirty rags in God's presence, and you can't do it on your own.
Amen.
Wow, man. I mean, you think about it. I hope someone is getting this. They may be saying, well, I don't know. How do you do it? Well, for goodness sake, Chris, people will listen to Art Bell and have a worldwide mass prayer to see a UFO and then call in the week later and say, it worked. They're praying to see a UFO, and it worked. Well, just be sincere and ask God to reveal himself to you and enlighten you and open your eyes to the truth of his word and why he sent his son. Do you not think if you're sincere, God's going to move literally heaven and earth to give you the truth, to bring
and
you to him?
In the middle of that, those two points, I would say is, you know, Tom Horn's Nephilim Stargates, that conversation. Anyway, that's the bridge to the Art Bell conversation and what you what you just said. So.
Yeah, and I mean, it all sounds like science fiction. It really does.
Because it kind of is, but it's reality. Mm-hmm.
Right, it's biblical fact. And it's not some far-off, distant planet spinning in a vacuum, and we're looking for a spaceship to land, you know, the Lucifer telescope. Look, if they're looking for anything through those binocular telescopes, if the Vatican is looking for anything, they're trying to see Christ before he peels back and says, here I am. That's what they're afraid of. They're not afraid of Planet Nibiru or some green guy or a man in black, they've already got communication with the underworld. Yeah. They're already doing it. They're not afraid of that. They want to know when the king is coming.
Yeah, in Psalm 2 fashion, like you said.
Truck driver and, yeah.
I would say it's two. It's twofold. It's the return of their, what do you call it? Their, the return of their, whatever you call it, their allies that are, you know, that were banished to nether realms, basically the Alice Bailey stuff, you know, looking for the rent or the tear in the space-time continuum and the return of the nefarious contingent, and at the same time, like you're saying, looking for the return of the king. So in on the one hand, preparing for the return in Psalm in Psalm 2 fashion and trying to be ready, and but good luck with that, you know. I was thinking before we came back from the last break that you know, if there is a big brother, again, like I said yesterday, there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And Jesus said, in this world you have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So, kind of interesting. You know, when you read Psalm 2, this whole hullabaloo and what I would say is sort of metaphorically represented by the United States military-industrial complex, like who can make war against the beast? The, you know, in a certain sense, the United States military-industrial complex. And yet, you read Psalm 2, and that is all meaningless and inconsequential in that context. It's interesting. He who sits in the heavens laughs. So, did we lose John? Do we still have you, John? I think we lost John. I think he went through a service area. Anyway, I appreciate your call, John. Thank you. I guess we lost Pat, so maybe we'll come back to Pat if she returns. In the meantime, back to Alex Berenson for the moment. That the flu stuff. See the trend? No, you don't see the trend. You don't see the causal, direct causal relationship between the dramatic increase in flu shots and the dramatic decrease in flu deaths? Oh, you don't see it because it doesn't exist? Oh, that's interesting. So continuing, Alex Berenson writes, that's because there isn't one. There's absolutely no relationship between the number of flu vaccines, quote-unquote, which obviously hints at something that he gets to, and flu vaccines we give and deaths from influenza. He says, actually, it's worse than that. Because 2017 to 18, not shown on this chart, was the worst year for flu deaths in decades, probably since the Hong Kong flu of 1968. And then he quotes the New York Times, a snippet, because you can't just link to the New York Times anymore. Stuff disappears, which should tell you something. Anyway, there's more. Let's go back to the phones. Go ahead, John.
Well, the comment I wanted to make, Chris, you mentioned earlier about hive mentality and all the rest of it. You need, I'm sure that you're familiar with the fable of the bees.
Yeah.
But for anyone that's not, wouldn't it be, and I'm not saying today necessarily, but wouldn't it be something to read so people could see their intent? This book was written when, 1714,
I believe.
1780? A long time ago anyway.
Yeah.
And it was outlining what we're going through right now. That was the plan.
Yep.
And it's interesting that the Illuminati symbol for years was a beehive.
Mm-hmm.
We are, and we've heard it our whole lives, hey, I'm just a worker bee. When we're literally telling the truth and don't know we're telling it. And while we're
find,
at it, we're living in a curse.
Yeah, you can find Bernard Mandeville's Fable of the Bees on the Internet Archive. No, wait, you can't. It vanished. I wonder why that happened. Maybe it's been reposted.
Well, it's
anyway.
Hard, it's hard to find.
Yeah. That's
it's
my
hard
point.
To find and even download it.
Yep, exactly. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
That's what I had.
Hold that thought. Stick around. We'll be right back.
business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
So, John, you're still here, right?
Yeah, if you'll allow me, I want to draw a parallel to the whole idea of a beehive in relation to
let me give a little backdrop. You know, you've mentioned Mandeville's Fable of the Bees multiple times. So the Fable of the Bees, or Private Vices, Public Benefits, which, again, you know, one of the places that my mind goes in this discussion is what's his name? Why can't I think of it now? That's really Blackstone's Commentaries. And I've talked about it from that perspective in particular. But it's a fascinating look. Anyway, this, like you have said, Mandeville's Fable of the Bees was published in early I think officially 1714, but it was, I mean, you can go to Wikipedia, which says it consists of a satirical poem, The Grumbling Hive or Knaves Turned Honest, which was first published anonymously in 1705, which reminds me of so many other things like what's his name? Not Francis, but the other one. Looking Backward, the book Looking Backward, which is similar, you know, the Edward Bellamy, same kind of thing. Anyway, like you said, this is a fascinating discussion, and the utilitarians, Lark will remind us, are in view when you start delving into this discussion and the whole, again, the eusocial discussion. And so anyway, that's just a bit of backdrop, so go ahead.
Okay, and to draw a parallel between the beehive and the state we're in right now, okay, for those who may not know, first of all, I tried to be a beekeeper. I wanted to be a bee killer, really heavy, and since bees use you know, they track and trace where they're at. My bees went away and couldn't find the way home. So, but for those that don't know, a beehive is made up of all women, all females, including the queen. And depending on what they feed the pupa, determines whether or not they create a male or a female. If they need another queen, they feed a different food, and it makes a queen bee, which is a larger bee and able to reproduce. The female bees in the hive cannot reproduce. What does that sound like? They're forcing sterility right now in society. Well, they will tolerate a drone. The drones are made in the spring, and when the hives come alive and the queen needs to be bred, the drones and the queen will fly off, and she may or may not mate with one of her drones or a drone from another hive. And they'll keep the drones in the hive as long as they've got to have fertile eggs laid. The queen only has to reproduce. She's only got to breed once. She's fertile for her whole life cycle of laying eggs. Every egg she lays is fertile. They'll keep the drones around because the queen might die and they may have to make another queen and be bred again. But when winter's coming, when the end of the pollen season is there, when the time of the honey, the flow is winding down. Do you know what they do to the drones, Chris? They pull their wings off, and they kick them out of the hive to die. The men are useless.
Yeah.
The male bees become useless. And then when the spring comes, they make more.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to, you know, a big male drone, if you've ever seen one, he's going to eat more honey through the winter. They got to save the food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing now. They figured out, I believe, through genetic engineering, not necessarily how the bees do it, but I think the attitude was, well, if a bunch of female bees can decide whether or not one of their eggs is going to be male or female, we should be able to do that. We can effeminize our men, turn them into girls. We can not only make a male or make a female, but we may make a hermaphroditic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's a word, or a hermaphroditic man that doesn't know what he is, doesn't really care.
Yeah, androgynous.
Not even an androgynous, like more like a, what do they call that, where you're able, a snake can do it, reproduce by itself without fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
Parthenogenic individual. Who knows what's on these people's minds? They're evil.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it may become that the natural way of having men and women could go by the wayside. And depending on what you eat is whether or not you're allowed to breed, and you may not even need a woman or a man to do it.
Some people who have not read certain things will probably think that sounds bizarre, but that's what Bertrand Russell wrote in The Impact of Science on Society, and that's what Francis Fukuyama echoed in Our Post-Human Future, Consequences of the Biotechnology Revolution. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
The Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Second hour already of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. We still have you, John?
Yeah, if you've got someone else, I can move on.
It's okay.
I'm driving, but I'm thinking going down the road, Chris, in 1714, in relation to the population, think about how small the percentage of people would be that could read, much less write the way that Mandeville wrote. The first line of that, if I remember correctly, was a luxurious hive, well stocked with bees, living in luxury. How much luxury could there be in 1714? Answer that question.
Yeah.
When everything that you're going to eat all winter, you had to grow.
Well, okay, so speaking of that, here's a provocative irony. We fast forward to today, and You know, I, during conversation recently, remarked that because of the nature of inflation today in America, I mean, I sort of touched on this during yesterday's broadcast, but today in America, if you're not, you know, if you're not bringing in about $1 million a year, then you're part of the poverty class. The millionaire today is America's middle class. So how much luxury is there in what is generally perceived as middle class but is actually not?
And if you manage it properly, I'm about one-tenth of middle class then, which is more than I've ever done in my life. But I'm still not living in luxury. Mm-hmm. It's just that I don't live above my means. You know, I mean, you think about this. When you're talking about 17, 14, living in luxury, what was luxury? That you had food on your table every day, that you had somewhere where you could get relatively warm and maybe stay dry with coal oil lamps to read by. And now we have everything, but we don't read. We have everything, but we watch a tube on a wall or a tube on a table, and that's where we get our truth. And we've got the one book that has been around for so long, and no one picks it up because as smart as they are, you can have a PhD, and they'll tell you, I can't understand the Bible. But they can understand so-called science and physics and string theory and all the rest of it. They can't understand Old English. Well, I don't understand what ye and thee means. Well, that's not rocket science, folks. Mm-hmm. And or whatever the translation is, if you'll read it, you'll get the message. But you got to pick it up and crack the pages. And I'm talking to me too. I'm not being judgmental. I'm talking to me. All of this, and I can imagine the scientists when they found out that bees did what they did. You know, they even have a dance. They got a scout bee that goes out when the hive is getting ready to split. They mm-hmm. don't talk to each other, but he does a little bitty dance mm-hmm. that tells him which tree and where to go according to what they say they know. I don't know. I don't speak bee, but I have watched the scout dance. And then all of a sudden, half of them will take off overnight, and they'll be in a tree, or they'll be on a fence post, or even in a garbage can. Because they outgrew the hive. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing. And I can imagine the scientists saying, well, if they can create sex by what they feed them, we're smart as a bee, aren't we? Can't we do that? And then you wonder mm-hmm. why Johnny thinks his name is Judy, and Roberta says she's Bobby, and Joy says she's Joey, or vice versa. You know, take your pick, man. I mean, this is a day we're living in when we have literally exchanged the truth for a lie, and we're loving it.
Yeah.
And absolutely. It's right there. I'm literally begging people, if you will, if you listen to Art Bell and you like it, or you listen to Art Bell and you thought he was telling the truth before he found out that he didn't know all he thought he knew, because if by any indication Art Bell is saying, oh, no, oh, I didn't expect this. You know, when you're talking about the things that he was telling, and all the rest of them, George Norrie, you know, they had Tom Horn on. They had the truth. They had Tom Horn on time and time and time again talking about the return of the Nephilim in 2012 and Nephilim Stargates. They had him on, but they were entertained. They weren't listening.
Right.
They were not listening.
Or convicted. Yeah.
Anyway, I'll leave. I'm telling you, I don't know how I got you on this, but this is where it's at, folks.
Yeah. Well,
you got to realize.
This is the, you know, the epicenter of the discussion. I'm glad you brought up the fable.
Look around and ask yourself, as a general public, anyone that's hearing me, how can they do the evil that they do? How can they kill 60 million babies? How can they eat human flesh? How can they drink blood? How can a vampire movie be so popular? You know, Twilight, the whole Twilight series. How can anybody want to read about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's easy, because the Bible says, "You devour my people as bread." and we're devouring people as bread. What is Planned Parenthood? In my opinion, yeah, they want to do away with children, but it's worse than that. Mm-hmm. If I go to the butcher store and I say, hey, give me a calf's liver, somebody somewhere is going to Home Depot. They're going to Planned Parenthood saying, hey, next time you give me that baby ham, try not to bruise it. They're devouring people.
Yeah, it's interesting how that discussion has been marginalized. If you suspect that's going on, then obviously you're a crazy, wacko conspiracy theorist, because the depiction in the mainstream press has been to marginalize what you just
Well, isn't it amazing deduced? That Hillary Clinton's hero, people, was Margaret Sanger, who was a Malthusian, eugenicist, evil woman who said the best thing you can do to prove to your children that you love them is never to allow them to be born. And that's Hillary Clinton's hero. And the people that are loving on Hillary, the black women especially, are saying, Hillary's my hero, whose hero was Margaret Sanger, who wanted to do away with all African-American, black, whatever name you want to put on it. She wanted them gone. Mm-hmm. That's why those places are in poor neighborhoods.
Yeah. Meanwhile, folks like Ben Carson say that, and I know who Margaret Sanger was and what all of that entails, and we've played that clip many times. So, absolutely. So, here's
right,
my
well,
question.
I'll leave it. Okay,
well, before
go ahead.
You go, my question, I'm glad you brought up Mandeville's Fable of the Bees, because it obviously is an essential element of that discussion. The eusocial and eusociality discussion that Lark raised yesterday. But my question is this, you know, I mentioned that it, in my understanding, it has disappeared from the Internet Archive. And like you said, it's difficult to find. James Corbett says the Library of Alexandria is on fire. That was Corbett Report episode back in 2020. But if you go to alexandria.io, it redirects to the Open Index Protocol, which is at openindexprotocol.com, which is an open source specification for a persistent worldwide index and file library for data publishing, file distribution, and facilitating direct payments. So this is allegedly kind of the hive mind, the Library of Alexandria applied to the technological age. But where is the people's Alexandria? Where is the people's library where we can reliably, you know, keep track of these kinds of things that mysteriously seem to vanish or move around on the interwebs? I wish there was one. I'd like to make one.
One more comment, if I can. I hope we're not coming into a break pretty quick. But, you know, I knew this was coming. First of all, when Elena Kagan became one of the justices, she made a comment where she wanted to see all the books digitized and the paper books destroyed. Well, not long after she said that, I drive a truck and I'm coming through Nashville, and I know that, you know, like for instance, Ralph's book, if it took him like 7 years to write the book, the least I can do is to buy the paper and flip the page.
You're talking about Ralph Epperson's
and not him.
The Unseen Hand.
Right. I'm talking about The Unseen Hand or The New World Order or Jesse James, U.S. Senator. Anything that an author takes time and concern to write, we ought to be able to flip a page to read it. I'm driving through Nashville, and they're putting this huge building up downtown, not far from the Capitol. And I read the construction sign, and it says, Tennessee State Digital Library, where all of the papers from the foundation of the state of Tennessee, which was founded, I think, in the little town I live in was 1803, so I don't know when Nashville. It's been around over 200 years. All of the paperwork, all of the documents are being digitized and put in a digital library. I'm wondering, Chris, if all of the paperwork is going to disappear, if it's going to be destroyed, it's going to be shredded, is it going to be burned? Because if it's digitized, and at any time they want, we're living Orwell, control, rewrite history. It's easy. Please insert whatever you want that sounds what you wanted to say. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going.
Well, it will be preserved in places like the archives that, you know, Alan Watt reminded us about, similarly to, you know, what has happened with the seed vaults and the tech vaults and stuff like that.
Well, it makes you wonder when the original Library of Alexandria was burned. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Chris, they were writing on stone tablets and clay back then, weren't they?
And papyri. So how do you, different things, yeah.
Okay, a papyrus, but that's what we're told. But we weren't there. Is that the truth? We don't know. Mm-hmm. History is his story. So maybe it was a digital library then. Maybe it was a paper library then.
It's still Women's History Month, so it's her story, to your point, you know. Anyway.
Okay, well, I studied U.S. her story and ancient her story. It doesn't roll off the tongue. Anyway, yeah, I mean, all of this, it sounds crazy for me to suggest, for instance, and I'll take you back just for a moment, when the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness, the picture that comes to mind is a desert. But when you consider all the offerings and all the burnt sacrifices, there had to be some wood around. I don't see forest growing in the desert. But that area, that region right now is all desert. It's arid. There's nothing there. Later on, you read, I think it might have been Numbers. God said that he would cause it to be desolate so that people would know when they looked at it that God kept his word. So my question to anybody is, when they were wandering for 40 years and taking up abode in the houses and places that they captured, were they in a desert, walking on sand, or could they possibly have been in really a paradise, lush land, because they were burning a lot of wood. You know, they had gopher wood to build the ark before the flood, and they had wood, specific wood, that the instruments in the tabernacle were made of. There had to be wood. They didn't carry the tabernacle with them when they left Egypt. That's way off topic, but it's something for people to think about. Mm-hmm. Is desert areas around the world, are they judgment of God against sin in a country? Just a question. Do with it what you want. Thank you. I know you're coming to the end, and I didn't mean to hog your time.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Much appreciated.
Care.
Thanks, John. Thank you for calling. Much appreciated. So, you know, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. And again, I would sort of return, you know, I think, again, I mean, it's just incumbent upon each one of us. I mean, there are so many places we could go at this point, but I think that Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, summed it up pretty darn well in Ecclesiastes 12. You know, when it comes to the books, and I genuinely would like to be a part of creating the People's Alexandria Library. You know, it would be fantastic to be able to, you know, put something together to, if there is a legitimate group effort. There are folks among us who, speaking of, you know, the James Perloffs, for example, that have a background of knowledge that, you know, far exceeds the rest of us, and I think who are devoted, I think, you know, like a James Perloff, or, you know, like a John in Tennessee, who want to see the truth be brought to light, essentially, and the objective facts of history be brought to light. And it would be refreshing to see that for the people, not just in the Library of Congress or whatever, and to not see books like Mandeville's Fable of the Bees vanish from public view. And it's, you know, the Fable of the Bees is an interesting example. When you understand that since it's been published in the early 18th century, it's been republished over the last few hundred years several times, and the interest that's been given to it, who's been interested in it? Why is Oxford University's Clarendon Press republishing it? Why are Yale professors talking about it? Why are economists like Keynes talking about it? And, you know, the utilitarians and, you know, the Lockes and the John Stuart Mills, and why are all of these people, David Hume, Adam Smith, why are all of these people talking about this book, and why aren't the rest of us privy to this conversation? Do you see what I'm saying? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Discussions of social theory that bleed into economic theory and so on, why are not the rest of us apprised of the discussion? Why are books like this republished throughout the centuries but occluded from general public view? Stick around, we'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling fish in the sea. You know how I feel. River running free. You know how I feel. Blossom on a tree. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, March 30th, 2022. So, you know, it would be nice to see a collection, the People's Alexandria Library, assembled. And I think it's possible, you know. We're obviously being dissuaded from doing so. And in a very organized, concerted fashion. Why do things like Mandeville's Fable of the Beast disappear from the Internet archives? That's strange. Why would that happen? It's a copyright violation, is it? Or is there perhaps some other motivation? So, you know, in the final analysis, I think we each have to decide for ourselves. It's important to investigate and to whatever extent we feel compelled, I suppose. But in the final analysis, I think Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, except, of course, for Jesus himself, summed it up best at the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It reads in the NASB 95, in addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly, which sounds redundant but is worth maybe pondering. The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. The conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. And so, in my humble estimation, those are definitely words to live by. It's easy to become Burgess Meredith in that Twilight Zone episode, only to discover that the endless devotion to books is not quite as fantastic as we may have originally thought. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.